This is Adam Peacock, host of My Neighbors Are Dead, where I talk to the tertiary characters from your favorite horror films in a new, fully improvised story. The episode you're about to hear is The Road with Tim Sniffen. Thank you for listening.
The following audio drama is rated R for Rockin'. You can be sure that everything you wanted to see when you're a teenager is here. Just tantalizingly out of reach if you're under 17 or 18 years old.
Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, Papa Shango. But what about the ones just outside the terror? The ones who didn't get to tell their tales? Now, people have been saying the world's going to end since the beginning of time. But what happens when it actually does? What's it going to take to survive? This week's guest explains how he turned his passion into a way of life. Find the place okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The ruins of Chicago are not difficult to see from the horizon, and from there, your written directions just kicked in, and here I am.
Well, Frederick Fielding.
That's right.
That's your name, and you are a post-apocalyptic choreographer?
You can also say motion scientist.
Okay.
But yes, I am still doing the work. Society may have fallen, but the arts remain.
What's your favorite piece that you've done?
Well, just when society had fallen, we were going to do a piece, which, if I remember correctly, it was just before the solstice, so it was a celebration of spring. And then, you know, of course, things went to hell.
Yeah.
And I went backstage and I said, everyone, we could panic, we could loot, we could run, we could set things ablaze, or we could do this piece, which was called Welcome Flora. We did it, and I'll tell you, by the end, the theater was in ash. People were pulling my dancers off the stage, and in some cases, feasting on them. But the ones that remained did some of the best work of their life. And
yeah.
I will, if any reviewers had been alive to review that piece, I know it would have been glowing.
Were there any reviewers in the house when that happened?
There were when it began.
Yeah, not at the end.
They did not survive.
That's tough.
As so few did.
You're still inspired to do the work now that we're living in some sort of post-apocalyptic.
Oh, I have to, Adam. I would say it's never been more important.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, I think it's good because there's a lot of really bad stuff going on, especially, you know.
And what fights that better than the arts?
I don't think anything.
No, it's just as valid and important as it was. So, yes. As you may know, I sublet a little space in a beautiful New England old Victorian house. And for a small fee, my company lives in the lower, I guess you'd call it like a garden apartment of the house under lock and key.
How many people are in your company?
Well, 11 last I checked. Now, the thing is, I only go down there for rehearsals. And to weigh in, every morning we must weigh in if we're doing the work. It was 11. And, you know, you need 10 to form most of the geographic shapes on stage. So I'll take 11.
11, that's great. So let's talk about real quick. There's a father and a son. have you run into these guys?
Sal.
Sal, is
and
that
little
his name?
Sally.
Oh, I didn't get their names. It's Sal and
no,
Sally.
No one does. And he's so guarded about it.
Yeah.
It's like blood from a stone. He won't give it out. I've known him for quite some time. I mean,
yeah.
he was in my house just a few weeks ago.
He was ransacking your house?
Oh, it was a huge misunderstanding. So I was out doing my morning pages. And the sky being sort of an ashen gray, I just spitball it as best I can. It seemed to be morning. And what I heard from some of my roommates was that he kicked in the window,
uh-huh.
Totally inappropriate, went down where the company was resting, broke open the lock, and those things don't come cheap. Well, here's the real dirt. I have been pursuing little Sally, his son, to audition for my company for some time, mm-hmm. back when society was standing. And I think when he realized who was there, he took off. He's father, heteronormative, doesn't want his child to be a dancer as far as I can gather. So when I came home, he was racing out the door, off into the woods. I called after him, Sal, Sal, I see you. And by then he was gone.
Okay. Real quick, I want to talk more about this company that you have down in your garden apartment. Mm-hmm. You talk about weigh-ins, right? That's, for those who might not know, a weigh-in is a dancer has to be at a certain weight to maintain their position in
a
company.
It's a bit of a grisly process, I admit, but if they can't move, they can't fly.
Right.
So that's where the lock and key came from, because when they get into the cookies, there's no stopping them.
So you do not mess around with this. You take this pretty seriously.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I can't. The stakes have been higher than ever. So it just, we were having some problems with snacking, and I thought, oh, you've left me no choice. So that's where I got the lock. And so at night, I just put them down there. They have a salad in the morning, and then we'll have some wafers around sunset, and then back down they go. And I think it's worked out well for everyone when we understand the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. What does your diet consist of, Frederick?
Oh, ash, char. It's slim pickings, but as a result, I feel like I've never been in better shape.
Yeah, well, you look great.
Thank you.
You look very, very good.
Thank you. These rags I just put together, just a few things I can find.
You could never tell.
I like to think, yes. I mean, the person shines through because, I mean, fashion is hard to maintain these days.
I've heard stories about babies on spits. Have you ever eaten a baby on a spit?
I have. I won't let myself because it seems so, it's just such a fatty treat. I won't let myself. But we have used them as props in one of our pieces, Hope Remains.
Oh.
Yes. Where each of the dancers was given a child. I mean, we use them as sort of parasols. Where it was, you know, hope can rain from the sky at any moment. So look up. And then the babies came out on spits. And it's nice to know that it seems like our usefulness on this world is over, but they were still working.
Are these babies, they're dead, yes?
They would have to be.
Right. What's the audience reaction to seeing a dead?
I don't know anyone that can stay still that long. And believe me, I've asked.
Especially a baby.
And it's funny because I did have to go back on one of my old set, which do not work with children. They're just so hard to corral. But in this case, well-behaved.
That's great. Well, yeah. I mean, what's it going to do?
Entertain.
Entertain. That's
is
right.
What it did.
And that's what's going to get people through most of this post-apocalyptic stuff.
Mm.
So what's your company? Are they allowed to come out at all from their garden apartment?
Oh, for shows.
Yeah, for shows.
They come out for shows. They come out, you know, every now and then if we have some sort of a press event, which those have been scarce.
Sure.
But yes, we have a piece coming up that I've been rehearsing with them. It's in the hollowed out shell of a ship. And I'll just flyer the area, see what we can drum up.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they'll be coming out for that.
Frederick, what are your thoughts on cannibalism? I mean, because it seems to be going around a lot. Food seems pretty scarce. And
I maintain that the arts are really all we need to nourish ourselves. But I know for some people that's not enough. So we have to do what we must do to survive. So I will say, if you are going to resort to that, just still maintain healthy portion control.
Right.
If you're going to eat a whole person, well, you're going to pay for it come swimsuit season.
Sure. It's like eating a pizza. You get one slice of pizza, just, you know.
It's perfectly healthy. If you're going to eat an entire person, let alone a family.
Correct.
Well, then the mirror is going to answer back.
And it doesn't lie.
It never lies.
It doesn't lie.
Mm.
What are your, so talk to me real quick about Sal. What are your thoughts on transporting all your goods in a grocery cart? Shopping cart.
Oh, very efficient.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, like a dancer's body, it's built to move.
Yeah.
And I think I did see him with his, I mean, it was almost like an installation, the way he was just his little cart wobbling down the street. It was boo-hoo, look at me. I just think there's a lot of internalized blame going on there. And if you put a gun to my head, which these days no one can waste the bullets.
No.
But if you did, I would say he was annoyed at himself for missing his own dance career.
You think so?
Yes. He attended one of my auditions, again, when society was standing. And he just was so, he was so nervous. He was doubting himself. I mean, his wife had gotten into his head and set up shop.
Ooh.
So when he was given the combinations, his brain was everywhere else. But I swear he had passed on those genes to his son. And the word around the ruins is his son is still out there somewhere. And I will see him on a Frederick Fielding stage.
Well, you can probably get him now. Like, the old man's dead.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Inside or all the way?
All the way. I believe he's all the way dead.
I mean, he was half there already when I saw him racing out of my sublet.
Well, you hate to see people living vicariously through it, because we had a lot of hockey dads growing up. You know, when I played sports growing up, there were a lot of hockey dads.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
you know, can't be that different from dance.
I don't think so, no. A lot of very angry fathers living vicariously through their sons and daughters.
Were you a hockey son?
I was a hockey son, yeah. Yeah.
But did you enjoy the sport?
Or I loved it.
Too much pressure.
I loved it.
Now, you've asked me a little bit about how my skills translate to our current situation.
Yeah.
Where would hockey come into play?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. A stick. It's great to have sticks.
Everything's a weapon.
Yeah.
It's not just words anymore.
No.
Everything's a weapon.
You can pretty much use, you can take your blades off your skates and, you know, stab somebody with one of those.
Okay. Well, I've got nothing on me, Adam, so.
I don't want to stab you.
No. But these days you just don't know, do you?
That is true. And it seems like a lot of people are just killing and eating people for fun.
Oh, they are. And that's the thing. What fun is it when you could be moving, exploring, finding a new spine and trying it on? Let me clarify.
Please
these
do.
Days, not actually trying on a spine. Because they don't provide any insulation. It's a horrible statement. So leave the real spine alone, but try on a new one, a strange one on stage.
It's just so sad that this is the time we're living in where that could be confused.
It is. It's a shame, and yet I feel like our work is clear to just keep hope alive and keep reminding people what's possible.
Talk to me a little bit about what you did before this apocalypse happened. Like, where did you train to become a choreographer, dancer?
Oh, I mean, all the finest Midwest dance schools. I Gleason's Dancing Tots. I was field discovered, working in a horrible little farm stand that my father had signed me up for, and I was just gathering all these fallen apples, and there was Dominic Gleason himself, actually put me in the van and took me off to his tot bunker. And that's where I learned my moves. All the finest schools. From there, it was
Sounds like you were kidnapped.
No. I wrote my parents every day. And honestly, I wasn't sad to see them go. I mean, I was being taught by Dominic Gleason himself.
Yeah.
I would have danced into that van if I hadn't been thrown into it.
What did he say to you when he grabbed you? Did he grab you?
He said, "You've got it, and I've got you." I didn't even fight, Adam. What? I would have gone willingly, as I just said.
Yeah.
I had been gathering up the apples into my shirt. I had plenty to survive off of. And in 5 short years, I knew everything there was to know about dance.
What did your dad say when Dominic Gleason threw you in that van?
Who knows? I was, the door was shut, and my new life had begun. I mean, everyone, society has fallen. My society fell willingly years before.
Yeah.
Where the society I had been forced into fell away, and I lived in the world of dance.
Talk to me about Gleason's Dance and Tots Academy. Like, what is your training program like there?
Again, no sunlight, because there was nothing, there was a distraction, no other people. It was rumored that he picked one child every 5 years, and that was all I knew.
You were kidnapped.
Do you have to call it that?
Yes.
I mean, that's it. Again, I won't give your word the power that you so need it to have. I use motion to express myself.
Yeah.
Kidnapped, taught, chosen, saved. All of those I think are appropriate.
Yeah, those are good. What did Dominic Gleason, what was he up to?
One day he just did not ring the bell on the other side of the thick iron door where he would appear. And I knew at that point I was ready. That his work was done. And so after I had unscrewed all of the valves and bolts, I found my way back out into the world.
And you just wanted to dance.
And I did dance.
Yeah.
From there on in, I would dance in the streets. It was just guerrilla dancing anywhere I could. And just gathering people. People would fall in line behind me and just copy me. And that was how my company was formed.
Did you go back and visit your parents after you got out of the dance?
What I did was because I knew that words were too, they're just too mercurial. I couldn't make them do what I wanted. So what I did was I waited until midnight with a full moon in the sky. I blew into a conch shell. And when they came to the window, I danced. I danced for them. And they didn't even come down. They didn't need to. My dance said everything that it needed to, which was I'm free of you. I became the person I needed to be. Gleason freed me and at the same time baptized me and gave me life. And then I just receded into the shadows.
Did Dominic Gleason make you recruit other dancers?
That was, yes, part of the... but he didn't want me to be troubled by where he was keeping me. So after the burlap sack was over my head, he would just take me to wherever, parking lots, public places, and just, he would have me move. And then I think when other people came close, either to offer assistance or praise, then I would have a new friend in the van and we would be taken.
Nobody
back.
Was ever like, hey, what's that grown man doing with that kid in a burlap sack?
You know, if they did, in my mind, if they're reacting, they're listening. So whatever they said, I mostly heard applause.
This is really a making lemons out of lemonade or lemonade out of lemons type scenario you got going on here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're
incredibly positive.
Oh, you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be these days. I found what I'm doing. And the situation may have changed, but the work is the same.
I mean, from apple picking to... To
twirling a baby on a stick over my head like an umbrella.
Had you thought about dance before you were taken in that van?
Not as such.
No.
You know, sometimes how you don't know what you know the most. So, I guess I hadn't thought of it before, but just even the way I was thrown into that van, I was flying.
Yeah.
And it all clicked into place.
How old were you when this happened again?
I believe I was around six. Yeah, I was a young man of six.
Young man of six?
Yes. Yeah. Ready to move.
Ready to move.
Yes.
That's, man, that's quite a story. So for 5 years, so you're 11 when you come out of this thing, you're dancing in the streets.
Grown. As grown as I needed to be.
Yeah.
I had learned everything in that time.
Well, I think it's great that you're parlaying this into what you're doing now, this post-apocalyptic choreography. It's great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's never been more needed.
You got your company down in the basement?
Exactly.
Or the townhouse under lock and key?
I think of it as a townhouse. I mean, it's a town now in terms of it's a village.
There's not much left.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. We're hard up for audience members.
Well, if people want to come see you, you have a show coming up, right?
At the Burned Out Ship.
Burned Out Ship.
Correct.
After that.
Dusk promptly. Because we know how the looters and the cannibals come usually after dark. So that's dusk. And then by the time, the light has faded, again, we have it timed perfectly. So the final gesture happens and then we simply race for shelter.
If little Sally's out there listening.
Oh, would that he is.
You're going to get him. You're planning on getting him.
I'm not sure I agree with your terms. I mean, does a flower get a bee, or is the bee drawn to the flower in such a way that he can no longer resist its call?
That's a great way of spinning it. That's a really good way of spinning it.
Yes.
Frederick, thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
I plan on coming to see the show.